And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. And I know if you're listening to or watching the news, you're thinking Bishop Jackson's going to be sad today because Virginia lost both the House and the Senate to a bunch of leftists. And now the governor, the wearer of the Ku Klux Klan outfit, Ralph Northam, and his cohorts, the man accused of more than one instance of sexual assault, Justin Fairfax, and another wearer of apparently blackface or something like that, Mark Herring, the attorney general, Justin Fairfax, lieutenant governor. They now have a legislature that's completely in sync and in agreement with them. They now carry the legislature by a slim majority, but nevertheless, they control it by a majority. And you probably were looking for the sadness in my voice. Well, you know what, folks? I refuse to be sad. I refuse to be discouraged because I'm a child of God. And I know that ultimately we are right and they are wrong, that ultimately we will win. If it takes Jesus coming back, we're going to win. So I am not the least bit worried. Of course, I will be the loyal opposition, and I will be opposing their attempts to disarm law-abiding citizens, their attempts to expand abortion to infanticide, because that's exactly what Ralph Northam said he wanted to do. I will be opposing their efforts to turn Virginia into a sanctuary state and flood the state with a bunch of illegal immigrants. And by the way, let me, since I just lit on that particular point, this family of Mormons that were gunned down, brutally gunned down, apparently by a member of the Sonora cartel in Sonora, Mexico. Folks, you know what it brought me back to? When President Donald Trump stood up and boldly said, Mexico is not sending us their best. They're sending rapists and murderers and drug dealers. And he went through a litany. And the media just went crazy. Oh, he called all Mexicans rapists and murderers. He did no such thing. He said, they're not sending us their best. Well, my goodness gracious, any grammar school child knows if you say they're not sending us their best, you mean they have a best, they have a better, but those are not the people that they're sending across the border. And a number of people said he called all Mexicans rapists and robbers. You know, don't you just get tired of the lies? Well, now, it was Mexicans who gunned down this innocent family minding their business. Is that a racist statement to make? No, it's a factual statement. And those Mexicans who did this are the kind of people who are in control of the cross-border traffic of illegal immigrants. They are the ones who are trafficking in human flesh. They are the ones who are trafficking in drugs. They are the ones who are helping to facilitate people crossing the border so that they can gain access to the American market. Now, is that racist? I mean, folks, these liberals ought to just get off it. Because they would rather denigrate their own country and call us a racist country than to acknowledge that human sin and depravity has no race, it has no culture, it has no ethnicity. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Mexicans do bad stuff or engage in bad stuff just like any other people are. And the bad ones are the ones who tend to be crossing our border and creating havoc in our country. And in this case, it was Americans across their border who ended up their victims. So am I racist? You know, folks, this stuff has just got to stop. And we've got a bunch of people in office here in Virginia, yes. And but you can rest assured that will be their stock in trade. Everybody's a racist. He's a racist. She's a racist. They're a racist. They're all racist. And the biggest racist, one of the biggest racists probably on the planet, will be leading the course, Governor Ralph Northam, who refused to shake a black man's hand. That's right. And I'm the black man whose hand he refused to shake. And I forgive him for it. I don't hate him, but I will never forget it. Because every time in his little hypocritical, squeaky, let me not go there, but, you know, with that little soft soap nonsense of trying to sound like a Southern gentleman. Somebody needs to tell him being a Southern gentleman is not how you sound. It's in the way you behave. But he'll be the first to point his finger at everybody else. And those three big, fat, swollen fingers, well, maybe not so fat, but those three fingers pointing back at him are the ones he better be paying attention to. And look, folks, this situation in Virginia, I want to talk to you about it because it is instructive. It is something that we all need to be aware of because what happened in Virginia is not just about Virginia. It's about the entire country. Well, look, I'm your host, E.W. Jackson, here on American Family Radio. This program is called The Awakening because I'm trying to wake people up, folks. And I want you to get involved in the discussion. We'll open up the lines a little later so that you and I can talk to one another. One quick thing before we have to go to a break. This is the last day. If you're interested in coming to our gala on Monday, November the 11th at 7 p.m. at the Hilton Old Town Alexandria Hotel, if you're interested in coming, this is the final day to get your reservation. We have complimentary tickets still available, but as after today, there will be no more. We will be giving our final count, and we are just about at full capacity. So I just would encourage you, if you've been thinking about it and haven't really decided, but you think you might want to go, now's the time. You've got to make that decision. Email me at ewj@standamerica.us with your RSVP, and we'll be happy to accommodate you. And that includes a spouse, of course. And you can always ask my executive assistant when you call whether there are any extra seats available, and she will be able to tell you how many more we might be able to accommodate. I know at least one right now, but I don't think much more than that. But the day is the final day, folks. I won't be mentioning it again because this is it. Okay. Well, you make a note of this. The number is 888-589-8840 because I'm going to be coming to your calls here momentarily. But I want to, when I come back from the break, I want to talk to you about what happened in Virginia because there's more to it than meets the eye. Oh, and by the way, congratulations to the newly elected governor of Mississippi. And, of course, Kentucky is, they're separated by only, I think, about 4,000 votes out of about 1.45 million cast. I don't know whether there's going to be a recount there or exactly what Governor Matt Bevin is going to do, but right now he is behind by 0.4%. So I haven't called that because he hasn't conceded. But right now, it does appear that the Democrat has won that. But I think that's a special case because this a black guy who won as attorney general, first time in 70 years that a Republican has won the attorney general's office in Kentucky. So that's something of a breakthrough. So I think Kentucky is solidly conservative. So I don't think we can take much from Matt Bevin's election. But stand by. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
We love our smartphones, but many of us wonder if they are controlling our lives in ways that may not be healthy. Markham Reed responds to this question in his commentary in Time magazine. You ask, should I ditch my smartphone? He rehearses much of the evidence I've discussed in previous commentaries. Dr. Brian Primack, professor of medicine at the University of Pittsburgh, explains how the little wobble of the emoticon or the A-flat ding that stimulated the brain's reward centers. These are designed to maximize people's desire to stay on their devices. Add to that the fact that there are teams of engineers and designers whose ultimate goal is to design games and apps that will keep you glued to your device. We can look at all the psychological data being recorded or merely use common sense to conclude that spending too much time on these devices is not healthy. It shows up in decreased attention spans, increased anxiety and stress, and a general erosion of well-being. Too much time on social media leads to a feeling of FOMO, fear of missing out. In light of some of these concerns, it has been interesting to observe a movement away from smartphones to dumb phones or light phones. I know of people that have kept their flip phones or decided to opt for a dumb phone that doesn't do too much more than make phone calls. Others are considering a light phone that may have a few additional features like texting, an alarm clock, or a driving app. These features may be exactly what parents desire for their children. They can give their kids a phone so they can call, but prevent them from seeing everything on the internet and protect them from cyberbullies. That is why we may see more adults and parents of kids opting for something other than a smartphone. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Antisemitism, go to viewpoints.info/antisemitism. viewpoints.info/antisemitism.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Brian Fisher here. The Drudge Report has gone over to the dark side of the force and is toxic to Trump. ABC protected pedophile Jeff Epstein for years to protect Bill Clinton. Environmentalists hand another weapon to Muslim jihadis. Mitch McConnell tells us how impeachment will turn out. And a Democrat says impeachment is a disaster for her party. Next on Focal Point.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Folks, just before I get to this topic on what happened in Virginia, I just want you all to know, in case you didn't see this news, a federal judge struck down a Trump administration rule that allowed medical providers to opt out of participating in medical procedures because of their Christian or moral or otherwise religious convictions. This judge has overturned that and has said, in effect, that that is not allowable. So in other words, he's basically overthrowing the First Amendment, because there is no freedom of religion without freedom of conscience. If you cannot abide by, live by, act out your religious convictions, your biblical convictions, then in effect you have no First Amendment rights. And that's exactly where the left wants to take us. It shouldn't surprise us that it's a judge out of the Southern District of New York. I don't know who he was appointed by. I would take a guess that he's probably appointed by Obama or somebody like that, but it doesn't really matter. The decision is wrong. So I just wanted to get that out there. That's what we're up against, folks. We're up against judicial tyranny that is trying to undermine our fundamental God-given rights with their own sort of leftist perspective. So basically, they're telling a doctor, if you won't perform an abortion, you are going to be punished. You may lose your license. They're telling a pharmacist, if you don't want to sell the morning after pill, you may not be allowed to be qualified as a pharmacist. I mean, this is the totalitarian nature of the left, folks. They want to force everybody to bow to their will. Well, I'll tell you what, Stalin would be proud. So that aside, here's what happened in Virginia, and I want you to remember this because it boils down to basically three things, and they all have to do with the left, and there's a solution to every one of them. Number one, George Soros. George Soros happened to Virginia. Not only George Soros, but there are a couple of other leftist billionaires, but folks, they poured millions of dollars. I count $5 million that's on public record, $5 million that they poured into the Virginia state elections. They targeted Virginia. Look at this. George Soros, according to, who is this? The Free Beacon. George Soros donated $625,000 to the campaigns of more than a dozen statewide Democrats in Virginia. $625,000. And he's not the only one. Oh, let's see. Planned Parenthood donated $520,000 to its state Planned Parenthood PAC for the purpose of affecting the elections. George Soros also donated another $350,000 to Planned Parenthood in Virginia. So Planned Parenthood in Virginia got a windfall for the elections of nearly $1 million. The Democracy PAC, which is another Soros PAC, poured $1 million into Justice and Public Safety PAC, which funds local races in the criminal justice system. In other words, George Soros actually was funding races for prosecutors. He wants to control the prosecutors. Now, I wonder why George Soros wants to control prosecutors. And he actually targeted Virginia prosecutors, folks. Parisa Dengani Tafti got $618,000 from George Soros. Steve Descano, a Fairfax County Commonwealth Attorney candidate, got $462,000 from George Soros. Donald Sussman, leftist billionaire hedge fund manager, donated $100,000 to the Win Virginia PAC to help Democrats. The PAC donated $872,000 to Democrats. Are you seeing a picture here? Next Gen America, a nonprofit founded by what's this guy's name? Steyer. I don't see his first name here, but I've heard it before. It'll pop up some here somewhere. But he donated $1 million to register 12,000 voters in Virginia. $1 million. Now, he raised some of that. He donated $110,000 of his own personal funds to do that. Folks, is this starting to paint a picture of what happened in Virginia? George Soros happened, and the far-left money happened in Virginia. And as far as I'm concerned, folks, this is a lot of outside money that was poured into Virginia to subvert the state of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Patrick Henry. There's no other way to look at it. George Soros doesn't have anything to do with what's happening in Virginia. And I say, well, now, EW, what's that have to do with the rest of the country? Because you know what? He's coming for your state, too. This man's got enough money that he can target states that he thinks he can flip and bring money in and carry these other billionaires with him, these leftist, self-hating billionaires who've got all this money that they made in America, which they want to spend to subvert the nature of this country, and they can pour it into a state like Virginia and flip it. And they've been doing this for a while, but I'm just talking about money that was poured in just for the 2019 election. It's millions of dollars, folks, and that's what's publicly known. And you know that if that much has been poured in publicly, you know more money than that has really come in through a variety of different means. So that's number one. George Soros happened to Virginia. Here's number two. Barack Obama and Eric Holder happened to Virginia. Because, as you probably know, Barack Obama and Eric Holder are on a mission to redistrict every state they can to try to maximize liberal districts. And they're doing that primarily by race, of course. They're trying to, and they've got a whole, these blacks and other minorities in the Democrat stronghold and on the Democrat plantation. And then they build districts around that so they can get people elected. Now, for example, my state delegate, Chris Jones, and Chris Jones has been delegate for a long time here. In fact, he was chairman of the Appropriations Committee. He won't be any longer because the House of Delegates will now be in the hands of Democrats. But he's held that seat for a while. That's why he had seniority to become chairman of the Appropriations Committee. And he lost yesterday. And he didn't just lose, folks. I mean, it was a resounding loss. It was one of those 60-40 type losses. And why? Because his district was redistricted to change the demographic makeup of his district. That's why he lost. Because without that, he would not have lost. He would have kept his seat. And Eric Holder and Barack Obama are funding an effort across the country to redistrict everywhere they can to try to make sure that states get more liberal representation and less conservative and Republican representation. That's the second thing that's happened. Now, what do they have to do with what's happening in Virginia? Nothing. It's none of their business. But they're sticking their noses in everywhere they can because, folks, they want to subvert the nature of this country. It's just that plain and simple. They want to change us from a constitutional republic into some kind of Marxist, socialist, secularist, atheist, communist type system. I mean, that's just all there is to it. So that's the second thing that happened in Virginia. And I'm sharing this with you because, folks, it is coming to your state. I mean, they've got their eyes on Georgia. They've got their eyes on Texas. They've got their eyes on any. Look, they've got their eyes on Mississippi. You name any conservative state, and I guarantee you, they're trying to figure out a way to subvert that state because what they're really trying to do is create a permanent governing majority through illegal immigration and redistricting. Here again, George Soros is pouring a lot of money into it. But here's one thing that is somewhat unique to Virginia, but it's still important because it affects the entire country. So George Soros happened. Redistricting happened as a result of the efforts of Barack Obama and Eric Holder and lawsuits, bogus lawsuits filed and all this. Folks, we shouldn't even, you know what? The America I envision does not allow any redistricting on the basis of race. Because redistricting on the basis of race implies that people with a certain amount of pigment in their skin, a certain amount of melanin in their skin, can only be represented by either someone with the same amount of melanin or someone with a particular ideological perspective. And that is a lie out of the pit of hell. But that's the implication. In fact, folks, if I had my way, if I were president, I would be president, but my wife won't let me. So, but if I were president, I would do everything in my power to end the creation of majority-minority districts, period. Because this idea that black people can only be represented by other black people and you've got to create a district that allows them to elect another black person is a violation of everything this country stands for. Well, that will keep liberals up at night hearing me say that. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
T.B. Von Torovich once won a 5-day all-expense-paid trip for two to Miami in a contest run by a restaurant chain. That's probably surprising for some of us, for we've never won a prize in any of those contests and don't personally know anyone who has. But nonetheless, the paper stated that T.B. von Torovich won that trip. The only problem, a spokesman for Torovich said, is that Torovich may not qualify. The contest rules were like most rules in other contests. The entrant must be between 21 and 65. And this is where the catch comes in. You see, TB's only 8 months old. To further complicate matters, it turns out that TB von Torovich is none other than T-Bone von Torovich, a St. Bernard puppy. Mrs. Michael Flaherty, who signed the puppy's name to the entry blank, was wondering what the sponsoring firm would do. "We wonder whether they're going to let me and my husband go," said Ms. Flaherty, "or whether they're going to have to find T.B. a mate." Well, I'm sure Ms. Flaherty entered the contest for T.B. in good-humored fashion. She was just having a little fun, and that's okay, too, for life would be pretty dull if we didn't have a little fun along the way. But the sad part is that had Ms. Flaherty taken the contest seriously and placed her name on the entry blank, there would have been no question about her and Mr. Flaherty taking the trip. There's a truth in this event which modern man needs to heed, for it reminds us that some things should be taken seriously if we expect to reap benefits from them. And in this age of gaiety and frivolous living, it's often difficult to remember that life has its serious side. Take the Galilean, for instance. There are those who take him and his way as something to make fun of, something to have sport about. Early people began responding to him in this manner. He was no more than hung on a cross till some men started shooting dice for his garments. And not many years afterward, the public had decided that making sport of him and his way was so much fun that they filled the arenas to watch his followers fight the lions. Methods of making sport of him have changed, but attitudes are much the same. Most television programs and movies present his way as childish and his followers as rather dumb and foolish and even criminal. And then there are those who sit off and laugh at those who follow him. It's the same game that was played centuries ago, only it's played in new ways. It could be called Chide the Childish Christians. Maybe the experience of Mrs. Flaherty will serve to remind us that if we wish to enjoy the benefits of the game, we have to take the rules seriously. And if you make sport of him now, don't be surprised if you miss out on his gifts later on. You see, rules are made to follow, not make fun of.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
So, folks, we're back, and what's happened to Virginia, they'd like to do for every other state in the Commonwealth and create a permanent, absolutely unassailable governing majority. Let me add this footnote. Not to mention, they'd like to have every illegal immigrant in the country voting. Have you heard they even proposed that 16-year-olds vote? Now, how does that work? They just got finished telling us after, you know, the latest mass shooting that 18-year-olds should not be able to buy a rifle, okay? 18-year-olds, because they're not mature enough. They can't handle it. But now they're proposing that 16-year-olds be allowed to vote. So in other words, you're not old enough to have a gun. You're not old enough to buy a gun. But but 2 years earlier, you're old enough to vote on whether you can buy a gun. I mean, you know, how can people be that stupid? But here again, if you're looking for consistency, don't look to the left, folks, because they don't know what it is. They don't have it. Their lives are one big compendium of hypocrisy. That's all they know. Because you see, the only consistency they have is what helps get us power. And things can be conflicting all over the place. But as long as it helps get them power, they're in. And by the way, I'm going to come to the lines in a second. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. There's one other thing that I did not mention. I said it doesn't apply necessarily to you or to your state, but beware, because it could. and that is this. Northern Virginia happened to Virginia. Northern Virginia happened to Virginia. And Northern Virginia is an exacerbation, it's an exaggerated phenomenon that's happening all over the country in the most conservative states, where the urban areas are very liberal. I mean, remember where this jury voted 11-1 to allow puberty blockers and transition drugs to be given to a 7-year-old kid was in Dallas, Texas. Texas is probably the most conservative state in the country. And yet in the urban areas, in Austin, Austin is notoriously far left. Remember, Austin is where they've just cleaned up all those homeless people with the rats and the roaches and the feces and the vomit and all just absolute filth. And remember, Austin had passed ordinances that allowed for panhandling, and you could not move them, and you could not bother them, and you could, I mean, so basically, all the police could do was just watch them create squalor in the middle of their city. So they finally realize that with the potential for typhus, with the rats and the feces and all this, with the potential and fleas and ticks and all kinds of vermin, that they better clean it up lest they have a major health crisis in their city, which common sense you think would have told them that a long time ago. But, you know, here again, if you're looking for common sense, don't look to quote unquote progressives. Don't look to leftists. Don't look to these Marxists and socialists because they don't know what common sense is. They lost that a long time ago. So this is what they are producing. Well, Northern Virginia has become one of the major metropolitan areas of our nation. Three of the five largest counties in the country are in Northern Virginia, and I believe that's Loudoun, Fairfax, and Prince William. Three of the largest counties in the country. And folks, guess who lives there? Not some good people live there. Some great Virginians live there. Don't get me wrong about that, okay? But you know who also lives there? The swamp. The swamp lives there. And they have been coming in droves, folks, in droves. Now, I know this firsthand, having run for office in Virginia, places like Alexandria, Arlington, Fairfax County, and other places. Conservative candidates can lose in some of those cities 10 to 1, 8-1, 9-1, 10-1. And in Fairfax County, you're probably looking at losing 3 or 4-1. That's how leftist, that's how liberal these areas have become. God bless the Republicans who are still there. In Loudoun County, folks, used to be a fairly reliably Republican county. It's gone. It's gone. No more. So Northern Virginia happened to Virginia, and look, there is an easy solution to some of this stuff, okay? And let me just tell you what I view as the solutions. I gave you one with regard to redistricting and majority-minority districts and all this nonsense that has been created as a result of segregation that once was the law of the land in the South, and we're still now... The left is still using that to make us pay today and to balkanize us into our ethnic enclaves so that we have this false belief that I can only be represented that by a person of the same color skin. Of course, if a white person said that, a person of European descent, that would be racist. But for black people to believe that, that's social justice. And folks, it's just nothing, but it's rank racism of the worst order. It is nothing but the same racism that we were trying to solve back in the 60s in a different outfit. That's all it is. It's the same thing. And thank God for some leaders like President Trump who understand that and want to move us away from that. We don't need to become a more Balkanized country. We need to become one nation under God, because only then can we be indivisible with liberty and justice for all. But look, I have a solution to this Northern Virginia thing, and I've been thinking about this for a while. And I wish somebody would get to the president with this. You know what we need to do, folks? Are you ready? You tell somebody this, because believe me, this is brilliant. I'm sure I'm not the only one who's ever thought of it, but mind you. But whoever's thought of it, you know it's the right idea. We ought to decentralize the federal government and move a lot of these people out into the areas of the country that end up having to live under the bureaucratic rules they create. How about that? So instead of literally hundreds of thousands of employees of the federal government living in my state, why don't we make them live somewhere else? Now, they don't have to. They can always go back to the private sector. But if you start taking whole swaths of them, taking buildings and saying this building is going to be turned over to the private sector, and we're going to send you to Montana, and we're going to send you to Wyoming, and we're going to send you to Alabama, and we're going to send this group down into Texas, and we're going to send this group to New Mexico, and we're going to send this group to North Carolina, South Carolina, and you just basically, so that the amount of bureaucrats in the actual area, the metropolitan area of Washington, D.C., becomes minuscule because they're scattered around the country where they can't control or impact any given state to any great degree. And you know what? That would not only solve the problem of Virginia having a bunch of bureaucrats skewing our state left, you know what else it would do? It would shrink the size of the federal government, because I guarantee there'd be a bunch of people say, I don't want to go live in Montana. No disrespect meant to Montana. I love Montana. I think it's a great state. I love it. I think there's the openness and the space, and I'd love to have a ranch in Montana or Wyoming or somewhere like that. But I guarantee a lot of people would say, no. I want to go live in an urban area where there's plenty of big government to look over me. And they would quit and go find someplace else to work. And that would be just fine with me, because it would do two things. Number one, it would get them off the public payroll. And number two, it would get them out of my state, because they're ruining it. And so when the president coined this phrase, drain the swamp, oh my, you know, I don't know that the president fully understood how profound that is. But if we could actually do that by shipping them off to other parts of the country, I think it would be a tremendous blessing to the entire nation, and quite a blessing to Virginia. Back in a moment.
And this guy got up there and said, has your father let you down? Has your stepfather let you down? I thought the next thing he was going to say is, Mr. Real let you down.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and Jim Daly remembers going to a Christian camp after leaving a terrible foster situation with a family named Real.
Right? You're just going, whoa, this guy's got my dossier. And he said, I'll introduce you to someone who will never let you down, Jesus Christ. He'll be a father to you. Especially if you don't have a father, he'll be a father to the fatherless. Wow. I was bawling. I went up there as a 15-year-old and accepted Jesus as my Savior. And I'm telling you what, and I guess this is the point, the clear point. Character counts, and we learn character in the valleys.
Listen for God's call, especially in the valleys. More from Jim Daly at FamilyMinute.org.
Hey, want to go shopping later?
Yeah, sure. Where you want to go?
Oh, we can go to JCPenney's, Belk, Target.
Whoa, wait. I was with you until you said Target.
What's wrong with Target?
What's wrong with Target? You mean besides the fact that they have an open door policy that lets men into women's restrooms? That Target?
Wait, what?
Exactly. As a matter of fact, before we go, Grab your laptop, go to AFA.net, and sign the pledge to boycott Target.
Okay, I'm on it.
'Tis the season to pack a shoebox. Operation Christmas Child drop-off locations open soon, so don't wait. By filling an empty shoebox with fun toys, school supplies, and hygiene items, you can send the good news of Jesus Christ to a child in need around the world. Drop off your gift at one of our nearly 5,000 locations nationwide during National Collection Week, November 18th through the 25th. Visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to learn more and find a drop-off location near you.
That changed my life, just from that ultrasound picture.
When it comes to choice, the Ministry of Preborn offers the ultimate life-saving choice by providing a free ultrasound. When an abortion-minded woman sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to keep growing, and I'm going to be a great mom.
Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country, and their mission is to help save babies' lives and souls through love and compassion and the message of Jesus Christ. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. The number is 888-589-8840. Your comments about anything I've said or anything else that's on your mind. And let's go right to the lines. Let's see. We've got Lee from Virginia. Lee, welcome.
Yes, sir. Bishop Jackson, you took exactly what I wanted to say. You already noted. I figured you did. I live in the country in Virginia. We are being made irrelevant by all of these people moving in northern Virginia around Washington, D.C. And so, you know, that's a strategy. And I seen this going on in the 2016 election. Trump won all the countryside, but all your cities went for Hillary Clinton, and the same thing happened with Obama. And I have come to really understand why the Bible says, like Sodom and Gomorrah, woe to the cities of Corinth and Zidon. I'm telling people to move out of the cities, because when judgment hits this nation, it's going to hit the big cities first, because that's where your sin is located in mass and all your liberals are located. But they're making people in the countryside vote not count worth anything because of all the cities. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Lee. Well, you know, it's interesting, Lee. I had never thought about the cities. Jesus does say, woe to you, Chorazin and Bethsaida. And he talks about the cities of Galilee. He does say that. I'd never thought about it in that light. So that's an interesting insight. But you are right, folks. If you look at a map of Virginia, you will see that it is overwhelmingly red. All the counties, almost all red. And then you will see at the two ends a lot of blue. But that blue is so large. The population centers are so large that they tend to overwhelm the votes, which is why I tell people, you can't take your vote for granted. You got to get out and vote, because I think we have enough votes to offset that. But right now, they're energized because of President Trump, and apparently not enough of our voters are. So let's go next to Eric in Texas. Eric, welcome.
How you doing today, sir?
I'm blessed. How are you?
Doing all right myself, sir. I just want to... two quick things. First off, I'm neither liberal nor conservative. I don't follow the left and right paradigm.
Okay.
And second off, sir, I've lived in liberal cities, conservative cities, states, etc., and I'm not seeing a dime's difference between any one of them.
Well, what liberal cities are there to live in? What conservative cities are there to live in?
Well, I lived in the city of Sebring, Florida.
That's pretty conservative.
Lakeland, Florida. Huh?
Okay. Those are pretty conservative cities?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, look. Go ahead. Finish your comment.
Oh, no. I've lived in them. And just basically the whole point about it is, regardless of whether it's Democrat control or Republican control, We have the same problem with illegal immigration. Neither side wants to do anything about it. When you bring it up to them, they're like, oh, it's this side or that side. Sir, I'm done. You know, we're losing our country, and what is either side doing? Nothing.
So how do you feel about the job President Trump is doing?
Right now, I think it's poor. We've got an 80% increase of illegal immigration this year. Neither side is doing anything about it, sir.
Okay. Well, listen, I appreciate your perspective, Eric. I think this president is certainly trying. He's not getting a lot of cooperation. You're right, from either side of the aisle. I don't disagree with you on that at all. But I do think that, generally speaking, while Republicans aren't as aggressive as I'd like them to be by any stretch, at least their platform and their values give us something to work with, whereas the Democrat Party has gone completely off the deep end. But Eric, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Cindy in Virginia, another Virginian. Hi, Cindy. How are you feeling today, Cindy?
I'm better than what I deserve. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
I just want to thank you for your program. And for the previous caller, my parents came to America as a legal immigrant.
Uh-huh.
And they worked hard, and this is what I wanted to say. My thought is, you know, if the country that where I came from was such a great country, we would not have come to United States, right?
Uh-huh.
We came to United States because we needed education, we needed, you know, help with our, you know, with our job and things. And my parents always said, if we didn't come to, with the six children, they said, if we didn't come to America, none of us would have gotten college education. None of us would have what we had. My parents worked hard. My mom, who's already passed, always told us, love God and love this country.
Amen.
Do everything that's going to benefit the country, because this is the country they raised us. So what I want to say to those illegal or legal immigrants, if you are trying to change America to the country where you were coming from because you didn't like the country where you were having problem, why are you trying to change the country that you came to,
Amen.
Right?
Cindy, right. Why don't you stay where you were? If you like that, why come here and try to make this like it was? And if you don't like that, why are you trying to come here anyway?
Yeah, go back to your country. I think one of your commentary was, you know, if you don't kneel in the flag, there's American flag, if you don't kneel, you know what? You could go back to whatever country you want to go to.
Hey, Cindy, let me ask you a question before I go on to some other callers, because I don't know exactly where you're from. I can't tell exactly by your accent, but you said you are a legal immigrant. Let me ask you something. Do you think President Trump is a racist or holds racist views against people?
You know, when he was a TV guy, I never really liked him.
Mm-hmm.
But once he became a president, I voted for him because, you know, I volunteer at a pro, you know, I believe in life. I'm a Christian.
Amen.
And so as I see what he's done, and the more I get to know him, I voted for him just because of where he stands as a Christian.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democratic, but I will stand where the Bible, where the gospel
right.
is good. And that's
so
what
would you,
I vote.
Cindy, would you vote for him again?
Absolutely. I will vote for him 10 million times if I had to. And I do go around telling people why you have to vote for him as a Christian, especially if,
Amen.
Because, you know, I think he's doing a great job.
Well, Cindy, thank you. With that, let me go on to another caller. You made a tremendous contribution to the program, Cindy, and I do appreciate it. Let's go to Lamont, also in Virginia, getting a lot of Virginia calls. Go ahead, Lamont. Lamont, are you there? Did we lose Lamont? Okay, well, I'll tell you what, Lamont, I'm going to put you on hold. I'll come back to you if you are there and there's something wrong, but let's go to Leonard in Alabama. Leonard, welcome. Leonard, are you there?
Hello.
Yes, go ahead,
yes,
Leonard. You're on.
Bishop Jackson, my question to you is, what is the benefit to
George Soros to influence all these elections all over the country and spend billions of dollars on it. I mean, I'm sure he's not doing it out of the goodness of his heart, if there is such a thing where he's concerned. I mean, I understand he's acquiring politicians and so forth, but if he wants to turn this country socialist and communist, how does that benefit him? I don't understand the rationale there. Can you explain that?
Well, I don't know whether I can adequately explain it to your satisfaction, Leonard, but I will say this. But thanks for the call. I will say this. I think you could ask that same question of the Wall Street people who tend to support these far left ideas. You think, well, how does that help you? I mean, if we became a communist country, your property would be the first to go. Everything you've got would be appropriated for the collective, for the masses, or for the state. And I think part of it is these people are really just delusional. They're just deceived. And they think they're doing something good. They think they're accomplishing something, and they don't realize, you know, Stalin used to call them useful idiots. In other words, they don't understand that they're cutting their own throats. It's just like the left and their romance with Sharia law and with Islamists. They don't realize that these homosexuals and transgenders, if there were a caliphate established, they'd be the first to be thrown off a roof or have their heads cut off. And yet they are simpatico and they want to be in league with these folks. So I think it's just a demonic deception that makes them think they're doing something good when they don't realize they are literally committing suicide if what they really want were to actually come to its logical conclusion. And that's the best I can come up with, Leonard. But thanks for the call. Let's go to D in Florida. D, welcome. D, are you there? You're on.
Yes, I am. I just want to let you know, I believe it was Abraham Hamilton III about a week ago or so, it could have been Brian Fisher, but I'm pretty sure it was Abraham. He was talking about a new young senator or congressman. I don't know what state he was from, but it was proposing a bill to do exactly what I think you were talking about with regards to dividing up the different departments of the government and moving them to other states. Like, for instance, I think education was supposed to go to North Carolina, but he had them all divided up, and it's a bill he's trying to push through. I don't remember the man's name. I don't know the name of the bill, but I think if you contacted Abraham Hamilton III, he could put you in contact with that and about – I think it's regard to what you were talking about doing earlier.
Well, thank you so much, Dee, because I think that's an absolutely brilliant idea. I didn't know that anyone had actually codified it into legislation, but if so, I hope that it goes. I hope that it passes, because that would solve a whole lot of problems. So thank you so much for the call. We appreciate that, Dee. And folks, just stand by, because we've got... Oh, no. You know what? I almost did it again. That's it. We've got to go. I can't take the rest of the calls, but thank you all so much for sticking with me. God bless you. Keep praying, folks. We cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.